Two passages of Scripture, Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Gary, for tending to this harness. A lot of tapes I've listened to, you get this mumbling and a fumbling on the first of it. If they don't erase it, they're trying to get that microphone hooked up. So thank you, Brother, for taking care of that. It's been a great joy to be with you during these short brief days. We look forward to the Lord giving us grace and mercy to obey what He's spoken to us. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. When I first began preaching, the Lord really gave me a message in the wee hours about we Laodiceans. So I set out to study and do research, and I found out there's a little bit of disagreement about the letters as to whether they have a prophetical utterance or not. But I waded through that and determined that if we fit any of the churches I'm talking about in general, it must be the Laodiceans. Now, after traveling 45 years and been 39 states and other places, I have witnessed this. In principle, all of these churches are represented in different locations. I've got about several pages here. I'm going to try to convince you of that, but I'm going to leave that tucked neatly in the backside there. There were letters to real churches. Perhaps there's a prophetical utterance, but definitely we can make spiritual application this morning. So after having run around the country, probably 15 states, I woke up in Buckeye, Arizona. I had worked. We had a contract job, and I'd worked, hurt my back. And by the time I drove a little jumping Ford Courier pickup to Arizona, I was down. I woke up, I couldn't move my feet, I couldn't move my rump. There I lay in a little roachy motel in Buckeye, Arizona, and I had kicked it. Brother Axel was laughing at me already. He's got that privilege. old long orangey green shag carpet, and I kicked the door or the chair up under the doorknob because it was the kind of place that things was going on out on the sidewalk. And I said, well, maybe somebody will break that in and get me before I starve. But this is what I was having to face. Honestly, in the sight of God, who, well, God speaks. The God we serve speaks. And he does not have to introduce himself. Hey, John, this is Jesus. Not necessary. Honestly, Brother Champon, I could say honestly, my heart is not cold. But I could not say honestly, my heart is hot. So that left me somewhere between hot and cold. And though on that eventful morning in the wee hours, I faced a shocking revelation. The Lord said he would rather I'd be cold than the way I was. Often during this meeting, someone has said, how are you doing? And my almost pat answer is, I'm still saved. Hallelujah. And I'm glad. Thank God. Well, thank God for this time together that the Word of God and the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, would fan his floor and warm our hearts again. Because he does not want us to be lukewarm. And I'm determined it is the prevailing spiritual temperature of this time. I'm being honest with you. And determined not to use my papers. Being honest with you, last evening we had a warm time, wonderful time. Had good fellowship. Went on to bed having flashbacks. The brother was tending to little boys there and Sister Squire. I remembered those days when you were just a youngster coming. And I was tending to my kids over. That's some good flashbacks. Thanking God and praising God. And my wife says I do that in my sleep. I'd rather do that than have a cussing fit. I have done that. I drifted off into a blissful sleep. I didn't dream a good dream or a bad dream. And you know what my spiritual temperature was when I woke up? We have to maintain a daily, intimate, close fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the text there in the Revelation chapter 3. By and by, as I could stand it, the Lord aroused my spirit to understand my estate. Faith, patience, good works. With the discernment that we could pretty well determine the false apostles. That's a high watermark for any church. But the Lord had something against them. I read it. They had all these wonderful, faithful works of faith going on, but they had left their first love. Now, always remember in the book of Revelation that is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, I've heard it debated and argued back and forth and bannered almost fisticuffs about what this means and that means and this does not mean and when the rapture will come and it won't come and so forth and so on. And if we miss the Christ of the revelation, that's all we can arrive at, our own pitiful conclusion. And other problems. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the messages to the true angel messenger, and they will be presenting Christ. I refer you just by note. Some of you like to take notes. This will not be a pointed message. It's not homiletically arranged, and I do not have an alliteration. I intend it to be a brief exhortation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Christ says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. If you turn there, you look at it. That was close. I got that point across. We have had a generation. Now, it's not the first. It was happening in the apostles' time. The reason he laid that out there, Brother Barney referred to one of the verses last night, trying to get through. That's always been a problem of the preacher preaching himself. Now, in this generation, that has been fine-tuned and polished to a bright glitter. Preachers preaching themselves, proclaiming themselves, and have produced a congregation of people with faith in their faith. The only thing left to do is together and worship our worship. So let's get back to Christ. That's what I want to do briefly. Revelation chapter 2, the church is commended. I know thy works, he said. Labor, patience, can't bear those that are evil. They tried those which say they're apostles and are not, found them liars. What a high spiritual watermark that is. And has been. No, I was going to get a little bit critical, but I'm going to be sweet this morning, Brother Tim. I think I will. I can, with the Lord's help. Verse 3, has borne, has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. But now there's a problem. They left their first love. They was not fired up and glowing and reflecting the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea is, it's easy to spot, that before they had this reflection of Christ in their midst and their hearts were warm because of it, but now it's not that. But the good works are going on and they are commended for that. But the problem is, in all this busy, faithful works of faith, they left the first love. I started to ask us to bow our heads before we started and ask, how many of you are closer to the Lord this morning than when you first got here? And how many of you have just enjoyed the meeting, been refreshed and blessed and renewed, ready to go, but still not in love with your first love? And oftentimes, going back to chapter 3, our overly inflated self-evaluation is not really the way we are. Long years ago, I made a statement on Sunday morning. I said, I have arrived at a money-making idea. It promises me mega bucks. I'm going to buy you for what you really worth, and then go sell you for what you think you worth. Profits, profits, profits.
Amen.
And with some of them, and their overly inflated opinion of themselves that could not be devaluated, they didn't like it. And told me so. Well, it was not preaching. That's something else. Kind of like the black girl said, you're on, you don't quit preaching, I'm going to meddling. What is referred to here is that the responsibility is upon us to maintain that relationship, that hot relationship with our personal Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's ours to maintain it. I say even or maybe especially in our faithful works of faith, labors of love, to maintain a constant relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. They left their first love. Now, individual Christians often lose much of the first love. It just gets cooled down on us. It is true indeed that there's often an appearance of this which does not exist in reality. Sometimes a new Christian has a fire about them, and a lot of it is just good excitement. I can remember that. There come a point in my life, I wanted to redo that. I wanted to go back and renew that and that those infancy years as a young Christian. I was a grown man, saved out of hell, saved out of jail. One of the sweet sisters, where's she at? Jumped on me the other morning. I said, Jill and I were on the run. The reason we didn't have our travel trailer, she said, you been in jail? We were going through the customs down in Antilles one time, and old brother left the carpenter said concerning me, my picture was not clear on the passport, a little fuzzy. And he said, you have to really watch this guy. We just got him out of prison to come with us. I said, oh, don't say that. Those fellas are jumping anyway. Okay, let's get back to this. That original excitement and those hot feelings that we had as brand new Christians, we can't go back and relive that. so we can maintain a constant relationship with our hearts aglow. Great appreciation we have for our Lord and Savior. Someone asked me this week, I said, they asked me, how you doing? I said, I'm still saved. And they said, how do you know? Well, every new revelation that comes to me out of the Word of God renews that faith. Amen. Christ is the sufficient Savior, and He's the one I'm trusting. Dare not trust my sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Churches often lose first love. They leave it. That's what the text said. Look at it in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. It has happened a little, just a brief study of church history. We can see that of some of the great people with great names and great followings, and it began to wane. And then out of that, I'll just trace one that we're aware of, the Church of England, and out of that the Episcopals, out of that the Methodists, out of that certain Pentecostal groups, and all of them are seeking again that hot heart toward God and leaving the deadness behind them. And we can review that in our lives. Some of you are results of that. The place that you were at just began to be religion. And the candlestick was removed. So off you go with a warm glow and a heart that's after Christ. Maintain that. Now, people, once we're young, now I'm old. I'm the old fella that we used to come and look to for some inspiration and encouragement. I can tell you from experience, if you do not maintain a daily fellowship and communion with the personal Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you'll leave your first love. You'll get involved in something. Brother Johnson was ministering to me about that. It's easy to look at something that you've done all day and see the results, including church work, church life. You have an appointment or some kind of church schedule, and it's faithful works of faith. It's easy to get our focus on that. And the next thing you know, we're arguing about who did the best job, and somebody's out of snuff because nobody asked them to help out. And on church life goes. It's just like that. If we lose our focus and our faith's eye leaves from that first love that's in, is our Lord Jesus Christ, all these things happen. Church history is full of it. Churches are formed by people that are tired of that, and they get out to seek the Lord with all their heart. Many historical names there I'm going to go over. But the same thing that occurred here in Ephesus is a great possibility, a distinct possibility, and has happened to me more times than I would like to admit. I'll just give you one. One time I went with my wife to give blood. She has Rh negative, and that's like liquid gold to the Red Cross. They want it. Mine's O positive. It's like turnip green juice. They want that too. There's so much of that. Well, I go first. They rejected me. Got my wife, filled out the papers, checked her blood pressure, and she passed. Called me back up and rejected me. She said, get you a sandwich and a Coca-Cola. And I said, I just ate lunch. She said, well, drink a Coca-Cola. Well, I got my wife pumping and called me back up there the third time, rejected me. And I said, lady, I've got gallon pens and given blood since I was 17 years old. Tell me what the problem is. She said, Mr. Carter, the best that your heart is doing is skipping 15 beats a minute. That's the best it's doing. You have a local doctor. We was in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and I said, sure. You don't think we got doctors in McGee? Of course we got doctors in McGee. She said, this is serious. Well, it wasn't going to be but a few days we'd be with Dr. Ivory Campbell, Miss Reva. And I rushed around, got the trailer set up real quick, and got his thumb, put it on my wrist there, and he listened to it about 7 or 8 seconds, and we went and sat down, and he talked it over. I had my focus on the ministry, and it was overwhelming me. It had got me to the place, the faithful works of faith, and losing this first love that's in Christ that caused me to have stress-induced heart problems. Now, that don't mean anything to you because you're not going to go there. You're too wise and too smart, too spiritual to let that happen to you. But what started happening to me then when a younger man would say, "Can I help?" I'd say, "Here." "Yes, you can." And it worked out so well. A trip to the Antilles, some of the younger brothers wanted to help out, and I wrote letters. And I went, Brother Sadowski, preached in 9 churches, and others wanted us to come. I'm boasting, bear with me in my folly. 8 of those we'd helped start, and I'm ready to go back again now and visit with the sweet saints there. Warn their family and friends to flee from the wrath that comes in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Without any medication, I'm just boom, 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 boom. About 6 times a minute. Now, I may die of a heart attack before I get through, but it won't be because I have left my first love. But you have to maintain that. It's a daily warfare, a battle against your own stinking, corrupted flesh, and the devil and the world wars against us. We're too busy, and that is the truth. We tell them on ourselves, we are too busy. The Savior governs His church, does whatever is necessary to bring her into that position, into that relationship. We need to maintain that constancy. And a bad tornado came through the next little town north of us, Dumas, Arkansas. My wife and I loaded up a lot of food and carried it up. We were mostly interested in the people on the west side of town. A lot of black folk, Christians are over there. They had city police, the state police, the county sheriff, and the National Guard out there. I said, "What is all this for?" And they said, "Looting. It's unreal, the looting's going on." So we knew where we was going. I said, "I'm not going through town. I know where I'm going." Went around over there. And we got over there and just about got set up. Here come the security forces over there. They won't know what an old white man doing in the black quarters in town. We came over there to assist our brothers. And the brother got up. He said, "Bro Carter going to preach to us this morning, and I suspect he's going to be leaning in on us. So look at him. Let's admit that this tornado is the judgment of God, and let's don't miss the lesson we need to learn." We want to be closer to our Christ this morning than we was yesterday. That thing came through. One of the sisters was there. The top had caved in on the store building she was in, and the little boy had run from that and got off out somewhere, and she couldn't find him. And then the people found him, and I won't tell all that, but the point I wanted to make was the brother was cautioning us and exhorting us. When there's judgment on, let's don't miss this and say, "Well, you know, we were supposed to have been in Mobile, Alabama when Katrina come through. We wasn't. The Lord changed things for us just for His providence. We didn't get to be there. But it should not have surprised me, but it surprised me how many preachers are trying to get God off the hook. It wasn't the good old God that did that. It's the bad old devil." Well, somebody said in the pulpit this week, the bad old, dirty old devil does the dirty work. God has him. He's God's devil. But God is ultimately in charge. So maintain that constant love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be intimate. Be intimate. Like you do with your wife. I like to tell my wife once in a while, I love her. I mean it. Sometimes she gets wanting to fight. I tell her, "Hold up. I ain't a fighter anymore. I'm a lover." Now I get a little... Some of you old guys, that just went over your head. It works for me. Let me get back to this and close. The Laodiceans. You know the sad indictment. They're so full of themselves. And I read. Some said it's material riches. Some say it's spiritual riches. I say, yes, it's both. It was a wealthy era, Ephesus was. And the wealth that they had as servants of the Most High God, and they had the good goods, the religious goods, and I'll just apply it to us. The next preacher is a dear friend of mine. I remember those days. And he'll come and teach us the wonderful Word of God. We have to look to our Lord Jesus Christ all the time. All the time. Maintain that constant fellowship and communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord does that for us. He comes to us to rebuke us and chasten us. Let us learn from it, because when thou art corrected, it begins to be evidence that you're a child of God. Self-sufficiency is a fatal danger. Let's suppose we have a matter that we want to know about, brother. Because this is what we do often, too often. Excuse me, brother. You out of this now. It's just me. I won't confess your sins this morning. I'll keep buying books on the subject till I buy one. I try to proofread it if he'll let me give me that time. If he don't agree with me, I don't buy it. And if he agrees with me, he's right. And I have arrived at truth. Rich, increased in good goods. And then after a while, usually it's years, I have to finally face it and say, Lord, this brother says this, this brother says this, I think this. What do you say? Settle my heart, or let me say this in my opinion, as often one of the brothers told us. Thank you, brother, for that good message. What was their problem? They didn't know their problem. They evaluated themselves way under more than they really were, and didn't know that they were poor, wretched, blind, naked, miserable. When it came time for the power of God in their life, it just was not there. What difference did it make? The sad thing is, we can come together on Sunday morning and we can go through our religious routine and the preacher preach a wonderful Bible message and we say amen and yawn a time or two and go home, and no one can tell any of us have been praying and seeking the Lord. What an indictment. Now, I'm not talking about you. I know your churches are all just spiritual giants and y'all are heroes of the faith in your place. But for me, thank you for bearing with me this morning. I had good flashbacks and bad flashbacks this weekend. Thank God for them. I want to leave here more in love with my personal Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when I came up on the ground. I want to be delivered from this overly inflated opinion of myself and bow down before Him and say, Lord, mercy. Mercy. Let's pray together. Let me ask you a couple of questions before we pray. Can you be rebuked by Christ? Do you want to sup with Him a daily intimate communion and fellowship, or be spewed out, or be an overcomer in Christ? Do you want to be busy with good works of faith, or neglect your first love, Christ, and just drift off? Let me say something I hope will alarm you to reality. Suppose the Lord just lets you drift off in the direction you think in occasionally, without rebuking and chastening. Let's thank God for it. Father, we thank you for this sweet time together. The briefness of it is really good for us, because you have a work for us all to do, a labor of love, a witness. We hold forth the light in the midst of this crooked bunch of perverts. We live in a nation of that. They touch us. Sometimes they affect us in a wrong way, in a bad way. And we come to you this weekend to ask you to stir our hearts again, to look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for that. Now bless that one here that doesn't care. They don't care if they're hot or cold. They don't care if they overcome or just do good church work. I pray your Spirit would go to them, and has during this message, and warn them of the wrath to come. Warn them that they should care, need to care, must care. And if they can't care, grant them a repentant heart to come to you confessing. They've never thought about anybody but themselves. May they this glad morning come to repentance and face it. Their life is not their own. We are yours. We belong to the Father. You give us to your Son, and we're glad. We're thankful. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.